Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children. My child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, and chastises every child whom he accepts. Endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you as children, for what child is there whom a parent does not discipline? If you do not have that discipline in which all children share, then you are illegitimate and not his children. Moreover, we had human parents to discipline us, and we respected them. Should we not be even more willing to be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share his holiness. Now, discipline always seems painful rather than pleasant at the time, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Joyce. You've heard it said that life is a marathon, not a sprint. It's not even a series of sprints. I would argue that it's probably a mix of marathon, which the thought of running 26.2 miles disgusts me. But I think it's some combination of that marathon plus the steeplechase race. You know, we got the name of that race, which is often run by humans on a track in order to get a medal, but it's named from a horse race. They have four legs. This business of seeing life as a marathon often is what we acknowledge after we've run it a day or two, and we know that we still don't see the finish line any time closer than we did yesterday. I just got curious this week thinking about it because I don't know from firsthand. What happens to a body, I mean the physical body, when someone engages in that kind of a run? It's obvious that the large muscle groups, particularly in the legs and the very bottom of your back, are going to be tired, and they probably are prone to cramp. That's partially because of lactic acid buildup as you continue over time to run. It even includes the tearing down of muscle tissue, which is not a bad thing. That's the way God kind of designed our bodies, that when those tears happen and then a period of rest ensues, the muscle is then even stronger. But our heart and our lungs are affected were we to engage in that kind of a race. When you pick up the pace with the large muscle groups, then your heart and your lungs have to keep pace in order to supply oxygenated blood to those muscles that are working so hard. Even the respiratory system outside of the lungs gets busy. The quicker and stronger you're breathing, then the quicker and stronger the airflow is. And here, right about breakfast time, please don't make me say that word that happens, you know, when your nose gets really busy, just like your muscles in your legs do at the same time. Your joints, particularly your feet, are prone to blisters because of friction. Runners even lose toenails often because of the bleeding underneath the nail. That's because of the extreme demand of muscle tension and then the presence of friction. Our body temp changes and fluctuates. Our digestive system, even our kidneys, are affected because as the warm blood flows out to feed the muscles that are involved, there's less blood to warm the other organs that would be busy too. That's why dehydration is so risky when people push and push and push their systems this way. Even our skin is affected, the largest organ of our body. Chafing and sunburn and windburn are always a risk. Now you know why I don't run. But here's the thing, the one really good stuff, a pile of good stuff we can talk about, is that running long distances can trigger neurotransmitters being released in our brain. And those neurotransmitters, by God's design, produces feelings of euphoria, and they distract us from the pain and the numbness that ensues because we are dealing with a difficult set of circumstances. Every physiological blog, every article that I could read would have told me the same thing. But you know what's missing? Is the psychological and emotional effect being so profound because of long-distance running, the brain is healthier when we do. Every blog, every article will say the same thing, but none mention the spiritual aspect of it, and that's the exact perspective that Paul is writing from. So my friends, if we were really to take serious that notion that life is a marathon, then how I train today, how you are training this very day, will prepare you for tomorrow's leg of the journey. And preparing for that marathon begins with our minds. How is it that we are to love God? With our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Preparing for this marathon journey with our minds as much as with our bodies, you come to understand and trust, even before you need that truth, that this too shall pass. You come to understand when living this marathon life that I can do this, not because I have all the strength, but because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This notion of running this marathon of life that Paul invites us to, implores us to, also carries with it the admonition that we lay aside every weight and every hindrance. Before I challenge you to think about this from the human perspective, your perspective, I want to tell you about a pretty traumatic moment whenever I saw it happen. I was visiting with a friend. Robin and I have been friends since we were in the fifth grade, visiting in their home outside of Metairie, Louisiana, and she had a quail named Robert. Evidently, there's a children's book about that. Well, she ended up with a Roberta instead of a Robert, and so one of the things you did early in the morning is you had to go on egg duty to make sure that Roberta had not laid an egg somewhere where it would get stepped on by another member of the family. I was up doing egg duty that morning and started the coffee pot, and I saw this poor bird come dragging down the hall, and I thought, oh no, the parrot had gotten the bird somehow. And when I finally got the courage up enough to tell my friend Robin what had happened to her quail, she belly laughed louder and longer than any child. You know how sweet that laughter is. It's not that sweet when it comes from a friend. She laughed at me like nobody's business and then pointed with her eyebrow like this. I looked over, and it's then that I discovered that quails are like a lot of other birds. They'll take a dirt bath if you don't cover the pot with foil, like most of them. Robert had climbed underneath the foil in the peace lily in the front room and had decided to start his morning with a bath. And there, as he shook off right at my feet, was about 2 cups of dirt that he'd had hiding, or she'd had hiding under her wings. You and I are much like Roberta. We take on more dirt than we ever have to in life, and if we're not careful, we wonder why the obstacles are so hard for us as we face them. So when you and I hear Paul's admonition to stop picking up all those hindrances, to stop running with all of that extra weight, then it's time for us to evaluate all of the pride that we carry around, all of the gluttony and the greed that you and I choose to try to run this life marathon with, you and I have to come to terms with the fact that we have not confessed often the vanity or the wrath that we carry around with us, or the lust, that sense of being unsatisfied with anything that God might give our way. But what happens when you and I are willing to drop the despair and to drop the laziness, to lay aside all of that that would hinder us? Then this race that we call life is much different. Did you notice that Paul mentions the same word 10 times in barely 6 verses? He talks about the discipline of God. We hear it as correction with a little punishment thrown in on the side. But the Greek understanding, the way that Paul wrote this passage, was to remind us that God is the one who restrains us, who moderates us, who educates us, who corrects us and instructs us, the one who trains us. Notice that there is no punishment listed there anywhere in any understanding of what it means to be disciplined by God. Matter of fact, only when you and I are willing to allow God's discipline to change us, do we dare get to call ourselves a disciple. A disciple is one who is apprenticed along the way, one who has been trained by another. A disciple is one who applies with every opportunity he or she has the knowledge and the understanding and the call to stewardship that God places in front of us when he disciplines us. What we do with the day he has entrusted us today will ready us or not for the leg of the journey that we will call tomorrow. It's not about the obstacles that are threatening us. It's not about the tough times that are ahead if you and I understand who God is and who we are because of him. It is because of Faye Eads. It is because of Peggy Jones. It is because of the others who have gone on to be a part of the church triumphant that we have the perfect example of what it means to lift our drooping hands and to strengthen our weak knees. Notice that they weren't waiting. Paul didn't say, wait for God to do it for you. If you already know God is for you, that God is in you, that God accompanies you, then you have what you need to strengthen your drooping hands and to lift your drooping hands and to strengthen those weak knees and to run the race just like our sisters have in a way that shows others what it means to trust God in the journey. Do you know someone is watching you the same way we've watched Faye? The same way we watched Peggy, someone is watching you to see how you run this race with God's help. Please don't trust your default setting to get it right. Choose this day. Let us also run this race, that the victory would be ours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.